Welcome to Grace Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Thank you for joining us on Sunday evening, May the 11th, 2014.
Let's pray, let's dream, glory in the highest. service tonight for Andrew and Mary and their family. The choir sang a song a few weeks ago, entitled Forever Rain. And I'm going to sing a verse for you, and then I want you to sing the verse with me, and then I'll sing the chorus, and then you can repeat that, and then we'll sing a couple of verses together. You are good, you are good, when there's nothing good in me. You are love, on display for all to see. You are light, when the darkness closes in. You are hope, you have covered all my sin. It's the same melody, keep going. You are good, when there's nothing good in me. You are love, on display for all to see. You are light, when the darkness closes in. You are hope, you have covered all my sin.
Speak, O
pray that you would speak into us your word, that we may proclaim it boldly. And Lord, as we look at the words in this song, we know that you're good. We know that you're pure. We know that you're true. We know that you're Lord God. And I pray that this week as we walk with you, that we'll just know that we can run to you in your open arms and the riches that you give us in your love. We thank you for that, God. Amen.
All right. Thank you, Fred. We're glad that Andrew and Mary are able to be with us, and we weren't sure that we'd be able to catch back up with them because of the schedule and all of the things that in terms of their trip. But then Mary's surgery, of course, has unraveled that schedule just a little bit. And so I said, well, Andrew, why don't you come back and open the Word for us? So please do.
Hello, it's great to be with you this evening, and I thank you for praying for us. I know that many of you have been praying for us, especially Mary, as she just had the surgery recently, and as you can see, she's well enough to be here tonight, but she's still recovering from that. I want to give you an update on our situation and what our plans are for the immediate future and what's been happening in our lives the last few months. But before I do that, and I also want to leave questions at the end in case anybody has any questions for me, but before I get to that, I would like to open up the scriptures with you for a moment. It's my honor to do so. So please turn to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. I want to talk about just really one verse in John 10, because it's brought a lot of comfort to me recently as we're preparing to move to Togo. We're coming to an end of a 3-year process that it's been to get to Togo. It took us about 2 years to raise our support and an additional 8 months in Canada studying French to where we're now prepared to go. So obviously I'm very anxious to get there. Because it's taken so long for us to be prepared to go. And so when I imagine my future self in Togo, of course, I'm very happy and satisfied, and everything is great and wonderful. Then, of course, I have to remind myself, well, you know, there's also going to be times when you get malaria and you're going to be drenched in sweat, and you're going to be frustrated in doing even the smallest tasks, and you're going to be frustrated and feel like you're not spreading the gospel and you're not making disciples. And even though I don't feel that way now, I know that it's going to happen at some point in the future. And at some point, I'm going to be so frustrated that I'm going to want to quit. And so because I know that that's going to come in the future, I want to prepare myself. And so I prepare myself with the truth of the scripture. And if you look in John chapter 10, Jesus is teaching about himself. He's giving a metaphor to the people that he's the good shepherd, and those that follow him are his sheep. And in 10:16, he says, "But I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. Then there will be one flock, one shepherd." So Jesus is explaining to the Jews that he has sheep not just from the 12 tribes of Israel, but he has sheep from every tribe and every nation all over the world. And to me, that's a very comforting thought, because as we're going to Togo, it's very comforting to me to hear these words from Jesus, knowing that his sheep are in Togo. He has sheep in Togo. He has followers in Togo, just like here. And when I joined the army and the bus was pulling up into to Fort Sill, Oklahoma, where I was supposed to be starting my basic training, I was extremely nervous, and there was definitely times during that process when I really wanted to quit. But I didn't have a reason to stay like I have a reason to stay in Togo. The Good Shepherd has sheep in Togo, his followers in Togo, and to me that's very comforting, knowing that his church is there and they need to be built up in unity in faith in Jesus Christ, just as the people are here and the church is here. Often I talk about our theme for ministry, the verses we talk about in Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians 4, 11 through 13, it says that he, and that is Jesus, he personally gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the training of the saints in the work of the ministry to build up the body of Christ until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of God's Son, growing into a mature man with a stature measured by Christ's fullness. So we can see our role in building the church, in helping the church and his followers in Togo, and we can see our role in that in helping the church all around the world come in unity, and not just unity like we're holding hands and having fellowship, but unity in faith in Jesus Christ, unity in believing the gospel. That's our goal. And I think of when the Apostle John, he saw a vision of heaven, and he recorded it in the book of Revelation. He saw a lamb sitting on the throne, and there were people worshiping the lamb. And what they were saying is, "You redeemed people for God by your blood from every tribe and language and people and nation." That's Revelation 5:9. And I think the two main tribes in Togo are the Ewe and the Kabye, and there's many tribes, almost 40 tribes in Togo. And I think at the marriage feast, the marriage supper of the Lamb, when all the believers of every tribe and nation are gathered together to worship Jesus, I know that my tribe, the American, German, English, Scottish mixture tribe, will be seated at the same table with the Ewe and the Kabye and all the others. We'll be all seated at everyone will be seated at the same table, worshiping the Lamb together. It says in John 10:16, "Then there will be one flock and one shepherd." So that's just the short word that I wanted to bring to you. That's the passage that spoke to me recently as I've been doing my personal devotions, and I thought I should share that with you also. Now I just wanted to spend a few more minutes talking about what we've been doing. You may have noticed you haven't seen us the last 8 months. We're told that we just survived the longest winter in 20 years that's been in Quebec. So, and I said in French, I said, "Thank you for saving it for us." Also wanted to note, I don't know what Pastor's been saying, but I will not be singing in French tonight. So that's not going to be happening this evening. And we did pass all our French exams, maybe not with flying colors, maybe not the highest flying colors, but maybe low flying colors. But we passed them all, and we met or exceeded all the expectations and goals for us for French. And, you know, we didn't get a perfect score, but the examiner was a Congolese man who also teaches French in Quebec, and he told us officially that we can speak French. So, you know, I'll have to take his word for it. And Mary did score slightly higher than me on the final exams. I think it was 0.2 of a point on the final score, but that was all. So that's what we were doing the last 8 months, surrounded in snow in Canada, learning French, and it was a fantastic experience. One of the most important things I learned is that the stuff that we put on pancakes here is not real maple syrup. They do 100% real maple syrup up there. That's the real stuff. And so I just wanted to tell you next what our plans are for the future, the short-term plans. Of course, Mary just had her surgery, so we'll be staying around here for another 3 weeks or so. We plan on flying out June 4th. We don't exactly have our tickets yet. We're still working that out, but it should be the 4th or there around, whatever's the cheapest day around that time. So that's when we plan to go. And we'll be flying into Ghana, driving across the border into Togo. We thought we had a house ready for us, but it's currently being occupied. And so we're probably going to have to look for a different house in the city of Palime where we're planning on living. So right now, when we arrive, we're planning on staying on the Blind Center compound, which is in just on the outskirts of Palime, while we look for a house in town where we'll be staying, because we really want to be close to the churches and the schools that are in the city. What we will do. So one of the common questions that I get is, what exactly are you going to be doing? Is it going to be the same thing that your parents and your mom has been doing in Togo? And yes and no. It's kind of similar because a lot of what my parents had been doing is in the process of changing. And so I just wanted to give you a little update on that. There's a lot of things we'll be busy with when we get there. There's going to be a CWE construction team coming to build a new junior high school. We'll be printing new, reprinting curriculum that we already have. We'll be revising curriculum. We'll be writing new curriculum for more grades. As we try and introduce more grades in the junior high school. So that's the visible stuff that we'll be seeing, you know, books and buildings and things like that is what we'll be able to see. That's not what we'll be doing on a daily basis. My goal and my intention for ministry is to really spend time with the teachers and the administrators and the pastors over there, and really just focus on a discipleship ministry and pouring everything that I've learned in school and graduate school at UTC and everything I know about education and the Bible and seminary that I've been trained in, and really work with them one-on-one and in small groups to really develop them and train them, because what's going to happen is they have about 100 school teachers right now, and that's for 14 elementary schools, one junior high school. All of the elementary schools want junior high schools also, and they also want high schools. And we're going to need, as teachers retire or move on, they're going to need replacement teachers for the current places that they have. And that means there's going to be a lot more teachers that need to be trained and introduced to the curriculum and things like that. And so what I'll be focusing on is working with the Togolese in training new teachers. So not, I won't be directly training all the teachers myself, at least that's what I hope exactly not to do, is work with some Togolese, a group, and train teachers with them so that once we go through a couple cycles of training, then they'll be able to do it on our own. They'll be able to do it on their own. And also, they just had curriculum revision where last summer my mom went through a curriculum revision of the science curriculum with a group of teachers. And so all the future curriculum revision we'll be doing it with the Togolese teachers and administrators. And so every cycle we'll be doing it with them, and so eventually I won't have to be doing it at all. And then the new curriculum we'll be writing it with the Togolese teachers and administrators, a group of them, so that as they need new curriculum in the future, they'll be able to write new curriculum in the future, and they won't need a missionary from the States to be helping them with new curriculum and training new teachers and things like that. So that's really my goal, is to try and help the schools and the churches that run these ministries to be able to continue these ministries in the future, because no matter how long I'd like to be in Togo, I know at some point I'm not going to be there. You know, Africa's been there a long time before I arrive. It's been there. It's going to continue to be there a long time after I leave. And so I see my goal is to not just provide curriculum and to provide training, but to help them be able to do that on their own. And so that's my overall goal with the Christian schools. So basically what I see is just having a discipleship ministry with groups of teachers and groups of administrators and working with them day by day. I'd like to report to you, thankfully, I'm happy to report to you that we're still 100% fully supported monthly, and so we've been 100% supported since we left for language school, and so that's a tremendous blessing that we don't have to worry about that right now. And I had a few requests for you to keep in mind for us. Of course, Mary and her recovery. And people ask me all the time, what do you need? You know, do you need any more money for anything? And a week ago, if I had been giving this presentation to you a week ago, I would have said that we needed about $7,000 or $8,000 for a new vehicle. Since then, we were able to sell a van that somebody had donated to us, and I just heard today that someone donated to us approximately $6,000 toward a vehicle. So depending on the exchange rate or taxes at the time, we only lack about $1,000 or $2,000 toward a vehicle, and that's a tremendous praise. I'm extremely thankful. I'm always surprised and stunned. I don't know why I'm surprised when God provides for us, because He does it every time, but every single time I'm still surprised, because basically I had thought, well, you know, I'd like to get a vehicle that's new, because all the missionaries that have been buying used vehicles have had lots of problems, and so we'll just wait and see. And so I was trying to keep my expectations low in case God didn't provide that for us, but you know, I just every time God reminds me to expect great things from Him. So that's a tremendous blessing for us. We should be able to afford a new vehicle for us there. For many of you know that have visited Togo or another third world country, you know the roads aren't always fantastic all the time. And so having a reliable vehicle is really an important thing for us. The other need that we will have coming up is printing more curriculum. I don't have an estimate of what that will be, but in the fall we will be looking for additional funds to print more curriculum for the teachers in Togo. Last time we were there, it was about 2 years ago. It's such a stark difference, and I tried to put that in our video that we show at churches, but it's hard to show it in a video. It's two different worlds when you walk into a public school classroom in Togo and when you walk into one of the Christian school classrooms in Togo, because the Christian school teachers have educational material. In the public schools, if you walk into a room, you'll see three concrete walls and a blackboard on the other end. And that's it. And maybe 60 students with one teacher. If you walk into a Christian school classroom, you'll see the same kinds of things that you see if you walk into an elementary classroom. Here, there's colors on the wall, so the kids can learn that. There's Bible verses printed on the wall for them to memorize. There's the numbers hanging up around the edge of the ceiling, and there's textbooks, there's books for the kids to read, there's just all kinds of things that are provided by this church and other churches and individuals that the teachers can use in the classrooms to teach math and science and the Bible. And those are just things that no other teachers in Togo have. Because they're provided by you. And so that's what the curriculum funds will go to, is to print more books and in Eve in French for the students there. Finally, I just want to say thank you. You've been such a tremendous blessing to us. The Lord has provided everything that we need, and much of it has been through you, probably much more than 50% of our support goes through what I call the grace family. That's members of this church, former members that have moved on, relatives and friends of members here at the church provide about 60% of our monthly support and much of our outfit and passage that it takes for us to get to Togo. And for that, I'm truly grateful. The Lord has used this church greatly in us, and I know in many places around the world. So for that, I just want to say thank you. And I want to invite all of you to come to Togo anytime. Because I know the Lord could use you there. And finally, because this is Mother's Day, I figured I ought to give you a quick update about my mother, because many of you ask me all the time, how are your parents doing? How are things going? And sometimes I even get to talk with them and know more about what's happening in their lives than what you read in my mother's emails. So occasionally I get to talk to them on Skype, and they're having a fantastic time. The heat is a little bit different than in Togo. It's probably a little worse where they are in Bangladesh, so that's taking some getting used to. Also, they haven't really spent a significant amount of time before living in a Muslim majority country. And so that's an adjustment. And that's really an adjustment that's also coming to Togo. If you don't know, Togo is really on the edge of the 1040 window. And Islam is not staying in the 1040 window. As you know, it's expanding outward. And right now, the northern part of Togo, where many missionaries like the Lethers are going, is Muslim majority, where the new hospital and new radio station are going to be in Togo. And Islam is continuing to spread throughout the country. And so that's another thing that you can keep in your prayers, that that's another issue that we will be dealing with more and more as time progresses. But that's about all that I have planned. I wanted to keep a little bit of time. Normally when I give presentations and things, I don't really have much time for questions at the end, so I wanted to make sure I had time for questions. So, this is it. Yes?
There's such a contrast and difference between the public schools and the Christian schools. Is there an antagonism? Is there part of public school teachers say to the administration, why can't we have these? I'm just curious what kind of an impact they're making on the public school administration and schools.
Okay, he's asking, what kind of impact are the Christian schools having on public schools? Are the public school teachers or administrators antagonistic toward our schools? And from everything I've heard, the answer is no, they're not antagonistic. There's definitely some shock if they see what's going on in a Christian school. There was once a regional administrator went to one of the Christian schools, and in the public school first grade curriculum, the math curriculum, the kids learn how to count to 10. That's the curriculum for first grade. They learn how to count to 10, and the first grade Christian school kids were counting to 100, and that was just, they didn't think first graders could do that. That's just, you know, completely foreign to the public schools and what's going on there. And I've also heard some reports that public school teachers are getting some of our Christian school curriculum and books and using that in their schools because they don't have materials and resources like the Christian schools do. They don't have reading books that the kids can take home and practice reading and things like that, or stories that they can read to the kids during classroom. And so somehow they're getting that from the Christian schools and using that in the public schools. And that's something that we're hoping to expand as time goes on, meeting with some of the regional administrators in the public schools and seeing if they can purchase any material from us, or if we have the means to give it to them for them to use as a ministry from us, from the Christian schools to the public schools. So that's something that we hope that we can continue working with. I don't think there's very for one practical reason is the more kids that go to the Christian schools, the less kids will be in the public school classrooms. So if 20 first graders go to a Christian school, the first grade teacher in the public school says, that's 20 less kids that are in my classroom. So for that reason alone, I don't think they're very antagonistic toward the Christian schools. Yes. Okay, numerically, how large is the town that we're going to, and how many Christian schools and how many public schools? Polymay, I looked up population estimates, and I couldn't really find a good estimate of what it is. It's not far from the size of Chattanooga, really. I'd say it's roughly the city, not the metropolitan area of Chattanooga, but it's roughly the city of Chattanooga in population. And right now there are three Christian schools in the Polymay area, and I'm not exactly sure how many public schools. There's at least three public schools, but I'm not exactly sure of how many there are. Last time we were there, I was able to visit two of the Christian schools and two of the public schools in the town. And so one of the first things that we'll be doing is traveling around the country, because really the 14 Christian schools are spread across a large section of the country, from Lomé to Cara, which is very far north. And so we'll be traveling to all the schools and meeting all the teachers. And actually, part of my doctoral dissertation, which I'm working on right now, My professors want me to do a survey of all the Christian school teachers. There's approximately 100, and then an equal number of public school teachers. So we'll be going to each public school that is closest to a Christian school as well, and meeting with those teachers and administrators. Because usually the Christian school and public school that they're closest to have some kind of relationship together. They know each other, they talk with each other, and things like that. So we'll be going to each school and each counterpart public school, you could say. Yes?
What's the difference between going to the Christian school versus the public school? I mean, are there tests to get in? Do they pay to go? How does that work?
Okay, the question is, what's the difference between entering in the Christian school and the public school? Are there admissions tests and things like that? There's no admission test to get in. Anyone can come into the school, and often it's children that have struggled in public schools. Because what happens with the public school is there's a final exam for each class. For first grade, there's a final exam. You pass the final exam, you go to second grade. If you fail, you repeat the year. And that's it. There's no any kind of remedial training or anything like that. And so what happens is you have students that have failed once or twice or three times along the way. And a lot of times, before the parent or the child gives up on school, it's okay, we'll try the Christian school and see what happens. And so there's no entrance to get in. In fact, they have to give the same final exams as the public schools give. We can teach, obviously, our own curriculum, but the exams for the national exams are what are given in the Christian school and the public school, but there's no admissions test or admissions requirement to come to the school. You may be wondering how do they pay the teachers, what does it cost, and things like that. The Christian school started about 9 years ago, the first one, and just after that, I think it was about 2 years after that, they made the public schools free. Before that, you had to pay to go to public school, and you paid to go to Christian school. And then they made the public schools free, sort of. They made it free, tuition free, so you don't have to pay a tuition, but they have other fees and things that you need to pay for. You're supposed to pay a fee for textbooks and all kinds of activity fees and things like that, if your kids go to public school also. And they were a little worried at first since the public schools are free, will anyone send their kid to Christian school now? And what they found was it actually increased the Christian school student body, because when they made the public schools free, they didn't add any more teachers or build any more schools or provide any more textbooks or provide any more materials. And so what you had is class sizes would increase by 50% or they would double, and you still have the same number of teachers and the same number of classrooms and things like that. And so you have public school classrooms with 60 kids. I visited one public school where the first grade had 92 students and the second grade had 95 students with one teacher in each class, and that was an inner city school in Lome, and so that's the parents obviously realize that that's a problem, and so they say, okay, we need to try and send our kids to Christian school or figure out something else. Yes.
What percentage of children in Togo are in school?
What percentage of the children in Togo are in school? It's not exactly mandatory. I did a lot of research on this when I was for my classes in UTC, and the issue is nobody really keeps records for Togo. So I looked at all the African countries I could find. I looked at all the French-speaking African countries I could find. And they had numbers for the larger countries and other countries, but nobody did studies really on Togo. They just give estimates based on probably other countries, and they think Togo might be kind of the same. Most young elementary kids go to school, the vast majority. When you first start kindergarten, first grade, second grade, third grade, those classes are full. Almost all the kids go to those grades because those kids don't really help out very much at home. And so once the kids get older and they can help on a farm or they can help cook the food and things like that, then you start seeing the dropout rate really rise and the class sizes really get smaller. And from what I've seen of the other French-speaking countries, the dropout rate is tremendous when you go from elementary to junior high school and then from junior high school to high school. Each time you go to the next school, you see the enrollment just dips way down. And so that's really where the dropouts come, especially, is between elementary and junior high and junior high and high school. And so that's one of the problems that we're going to have as we try and move into junior highs and high schools. There's a lot less kids going to junior high and high schools. And the government requirements are much higher. And so that's why it's going to be more difficult to do that, whereas there's lots of kids that want to go to Christian elementary school. There's not as many that want to go to a Christian junior high or high school. Yes?
Andrew, how are your boys doing with the transitions from here, and how are you preparing them for the big transition?
It's been a little rough because we have moved around so much. And we even switched apartments while we were in Canada, so they haven't really been in the same house for more than 4 months at a time, and so it has been rough on them. I think it was Friday, Manny said he wanted to go home, and I didn't know which place he was talking about. And so, you know, that is something, a struggle to deal with. We talk about it a lot with the kids. We show them pictures of Togo, and you know, we show them on a map. You know, I'll go to Google Map on the computer, and I'll show them, you know, where our house is on the map, and then I'll make it bigger, and I'll show where the city is, and then where Canada is and where Chattanooga is, and then I'll make it bigger and show where Africa is, and he can find Africa on the map. And if you ask him, you know, he'll say that we're going to Africa, and he really wants to ride on the plane and things like that. So we try and talk with them about it so there's no surprises. Of course, there's going to be some surprises. we just try and talk about it as much as possible. Any other questions? Yes.
What is the school cycle? I mean, you know, I know here really starts school in September or October.
It's roughly similar. Yes. So, often what happens is they'll say we'll start in September, and it gets, I think it's supposed to start in August, and then it usually gets pushed back. Teachers go on strike and things like that because they don't have any textbooks or they're not getting paid enough or something like that. And so a lot of times it does get pushed back, but it's roughly similar to our system here. Yes?
Will you have a local church that you'll be able to minister to? And you said at one point something about seminary.
Okay, will we have a local church, and will we be helping pastors? We haven't decided on what we're going to do about church yet. We're just going to have to get there and see what the situation is, because there's a few different churches in town, and some missionaries just travel around all the time and don't go to one specific church. But I also don't want to go to a church and, you know, be perceived as an authority over the pastor. And so that's one thing we're going to have to discover after we get there. We haven't worked that out yet, so we'll just be talking with some of the other missionaries and with the local pastors to figure that out. Right now, I think what I would like to do is go to the same church and work with the same group of people for at least 3 weeks out of four in a month, and then maybe travel 1 week a month or something like that, but be one place most of the time if possible, and not move around all the time, because I'd really like to focus on a group of people at a time and minister with them and to them. As far as working with local pastors, that's one thing I'd like to do, especially younger pastors. They're still doing church planting, and really they could plant churches in a lot of places, and there's just not enough pastors to go out into the villages to be a pastor of a small village church. And so that's one thing that I would like also to work, and that's another reason why we wanted to stay in the city of Palme, is because there is a Bible Institute there that I can be involved in. Maybe I should remind you of my education. I don't know if I try to do this, but I have like a degree in each different thing that I want to work in. Of course, Mary and I met at Bob Jones, and I had a criminal justice degree, and then I went to Temple Seminary and did a Master of Arts in Christian Education, and then I also had a Master of Divinity, so I can help work with pastors, and now I'm working on a Doctor of Education in Learning and Leadership at UTC. So I've done in education and theology, so I can try, and what I'd really like to do is help in both of those areas if we can. I think right now the transition with the Christian schools is probably going to take up more of my time, but I would also like to work with the local pastors as well. We have one more last question. Is there any final question?
Well, I have a question, and I've been pausing, you know, to ask this. Okay, he said that you did a little better on the exam, but as a French speaker, which one of you are the most conversant? You can't say. Do you want to give us an explanation? I mean, Gary's not here to exegete your French for you, and so. So I just remember your dad's skills versus your mom's skills in French, and it seemed like V was leading the pack much of the time.
That's probably true. Of course, I did speak some French when I lived there before, and so I think I was a little bit more comfortable talking, a little bit freer. So I definitely make a lot more mistakes, but I probably am a little bit more comfortable speaking, and Mary makes less mistakes by at least a little bit.
Okay. Well, good. Thank you, Andrew. I think we're going to take an offering and encourage you to give, and to give generously. I talked to Bea and Harry on Skype, I guess, about a week ago, and they found out that the Tyndale House is not giving the grants like they like they've gotten the last several years. They've said you can apply back later on to get to potentially get a grant, but I think that the reprinting, and B did not know what the costs were going to be, but it's we're looking at several thousand dollars to be able to print up those things, and so I'm sure that this would be a very helpful and useful offering. So, Father, for this offering and for the words, we thank you, and we pray that you'll just continue to use them and watch over them, Father, and we pray that you'll help them as they minister for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, thank you so much. I know Andrew and Mary will be here and be glad to chat with you about any of a variety of things. I wanted to just mention a couple of things. Andy Pappas's brother, you probably got the prayer chain announcement that he's been diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. And so this is a pretty rigorous kind of thing. And so as you talk to Andy, I wanted you to be aware about that. And also we heard this morning about Mike Fuller. And so Sarah Beasley's dad and the ongoing physical needs that he has at this time. So we pray particularly for him. And Sam and Sharon are, I think, in Macon, and they leave, I want to say, Tuesday. Wednesday. They're leaving Wednesday to go back. And Mary and I had lunch with them this week, and they're just a marvelous couple. And what God's going to do in their life, I think, is really kind of neat. And so Sam just has, I mean, he's just very quiet and he talks about his plans a little bit like Andrew. And so it's kind of exciting to sort of step back and see these guys, what the Lord's going to do with them. And I once again think to myself, wow, you know, I got too old too fast. So have a great evening and continue to pray for one another, Wayne Harper and McKinley and these others with physical needs, and encourage you to be an encouragement to these folks. Lord bless you. Have a great evening.
Thank you for worshiping with us today. Grace Baptist Church exists to glorify God by knowing Him through His Word, loving Him through worship and obedience, and serving Him by caring for others. For more information about our ministries, please go to www.aboutgracebaptist.org. See you next time.